Manifestation can seem like some sort of elusive phantom. One that you can only see for a fleeting moment from the corner of your eye, but once you look directly at it, it disappears. We are bombarded on social media about the law of attraction, what surefire way someone has discovered to manifest successfully 100% of the time, and how good vibes only is the key to any and all successful manifestation. Join me and Vicky on this week's episode where we dive into key elements of the biology of manifestation and the roles of passivity and proactivity when it comes to consistently manifesting what we truly desire. We discuss how both approaches play a role in creating success on purpose and how we can fine-tune our individual process of manifestation. There are many important elements to take into consideration when we're going about bringing our dreams to life, and you'll discover how to recognize the energies that are key to you through interacting and exchanging information with the multitude of energetic frequencies that surround us at all times, whether terrestrial or celestial. And if you're excited to learn more about the process, we'd love to invite you into our immersive workshop, Make Your Mark with Your Star-Aligned Core offer. We would love to see you and support you there. Hello. We took a little break last week, so it's nice to be back.
It sure is.
Today we're going to be talking about passive and proactive manifestation and how these things kind of energetically work in our lives. And I think we're likely going to touch on things that the more popular platforms like the law of attraction and those types of concepts kind of miss. I mean, you know how I feel about law of attraction. So we're going to go far beyond that and just what I think we see in the mainstream in terms of how all of this works. Yeah. I kind of want to start at the beginning, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
With how we're born to create and be successful in whatever, you know, whatever way that looks for us, because it's obviously very different and unique for each one of us. So how does that work? How do we know what our natural process is for creation, or what success even looks like?
I already want to go into a side tangent.
Yeah, go. Do it.
It comes down to this, like, if we were born to create, and then we were also born with this purpose, whether it's a soul purpose, life purpose, a calling, a yearning to do something, experience something, ultimately we all want the same thing. And we're all designed to do the same thing. And that one thing is to create, just create. So if we were born with a calling, a yearning for something, a purpose, and granted, some people either don't hear that call or don't have such a strong calling. Maybe it comes later in life. Some of us might be 14 and think, I've got to do something in this world, like I did. I'm sure Joe was there at that time as well. Even if the degree of the call is very subtle to very intense, I feel like everything that we set out to do in the world is this striving to meet that need. It's almost like a basic instinctual need. Like, I have this feeling, I need to achieve this thing. I want to make this experience happen for me or for the world. And I know there is a hunger inside of us that is difficult to satiate unless we start walking that path, creating the thing. It's such an individual thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which, I mean, that just brings me to Mars and how Mars kind of interacts with us in our astrology and, you know, that primal purpose to invoke that fierce heroic spirit and do the things we need to do, whatever that looks like. So I'm always going to come back and tie it to.
Oh, I love it. I'm just thinking, yeah, like Mars, the passion and the drive, the ambition that Mars helps us to experience. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's another, I mean, we're talking incongruence already, right? Like if there is Mars energy that we are denying, not listening to, refusing to work with proactively, then we might not have that ambition. We might deny ourselves of wanting that dream. And even there, we can be passive about it or proactive about how we go into a relationship with Mars.
Okay. So having touched on that, which I think was an important prelude, but how then, now that we have a foundation, how do we build on that foundation? How do we know what to create or what our purpose is or how to be successful in that realm?
Interesting. I'm going to answer this question by saying why we don't become successful. Mm-hmm. Like there are four main reasons why we don't become successful or create what we want to create or get return on investment for our manifesting efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all the ways in which we sabotage our success. One, our manifesting desires are not aligned with our authentic creative expression, right? Like what is it meant to be for our highest path and purpose? Number two, our manifesting desires are not actually what we want, but instead what we think we should want because society says that that's what we should have ambitions for example, or an influential person says that this is what we should want for. And this happens when we ignore the guidance of the wisdom of the universe, of the planets, our own higher self, et cetera, our own wisdom. Number three is we aren't taking aligned actions to actualize our manifested desires. That's another reason we don't become successful. And again, this is going to happen when we refuse to listen to and trust the universe and all the frequencies and the forces that we're playing with. And lastly, four, even if we are able to be in a harmonious and coherent state the majority of the time, because, you know, we fluctuate, the residue of any subconscious programming that we may or may not have been working to resolve or to transmute might be in conflict with our intentions. That one's a little bit tricky to play with. So if you take these four factors into consideration and question and be curious, is this aligned to really who I am? Is this really what I want? Not what I should be wanting. Am I taking action in all the ways that are aligned to me, are going to have me truly expressing who I are? And am I cultivating coherence most of the time? Mm-hmm. If you can answer yes to those four questions, then it's likely or more likely that the manifestation process will be smooth and successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So that brings me to my next point, which is, what if someone out there, I know that you and I have probably gone through this, and I imagine that our listeners have as well, at least some of them, of questioning what is my purpose? So how do we figure that out if we're in that limbo? I'm not really sure, or I think it might be this or whatever.
I believe that there are many ways in which we can identify that. And I'm trying to think whether it's my absolute favorite way or one of the ways. No, I think it's my absolute favorite way is through astrology, looking at my astrological natal chart and going to, let's call them celestial codes. That's a new one. Let's tabooify that as to what my purpose would be. So there's not just one place that I would look at inside of the map. That is this astrological natal chart. It's not just one piece that I would look at. I would take into consideration a few factors inside of my natal chart to explore that. And that's what I've done with my clients for many years. It's what we teach in astrovibology, which is a taboo certification course. So where would you go?
I think that would probably be my second choice.
the way that I personally went through it was intuitively. It was just like, what am I good at? What do I do? What do I enjoy doing? And that was slightly difficult when I think about it, because I questioned it a lot. Because I thought, you know, no one's going to want to do this. No one's going to want to get into like the shadow divination and deal with these like hard, uncomfortable things. Like, this is not my purpose. Only to come to find out, looking at these very, you know, specific points in my natal chart, that, oh yeah, actually that literally is my purpose. So I shouldn't have questioned, but I did.
Yeah. Yep. And I still question. I feel that it's easier for me to look at a practical map, mm-hmm, to identify who am I, how do I shine in the world, how do other people see me, how do I experience myself. Astrology to me feels like one of the most practical self-exploration systems.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the other thing, no matter what, you know, method you go about divining your purpose or figuring it all out, is we evolve, right? And so I think that that's something to keep in mind, is that where we are at one point in life and how we are walking our purpose out in our actions and behaviors and our thoughts, etc., is going to be a little different than when we're older and, you know, or in just a different stage in life. Not necessarily, you know, there doesn't have to necessarily be a huge age gap, but once we're assimilating the things, and I think learning all the things and taking the things into consideration, coming into that congruence, like you were talking about earlier, that changes. And I think that also helps us to become more proactive and a little bit more honed in on how we manifest, versus this kind of idea of like, oh, well, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And then trying to, you know, reverse engineer the process and not quite coming up, you know, with the same formula, let's just say.
And that's also really helpful too. Mm-hmm. So some of us manifest at different rates. Like the action goes in, and then maybe 2 hours later, 2 weeks later, 2 months later, the thing comes about. But if we can look at, if I manifested the thing 2 hours, what did I do? I did that thing 2 hours ago that was directly related to this. Now, side note, results can be indirectly related to the action that you took. And if we can see direct results unfolding 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months later, take it back to the thing that we did, we can follow those patterns. We can track those patterns. This is why witches keep grimoires, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what was my spell? What ingredients did I do? What words? And then looking at how that spell turned out, the results of it, and it's kept in a grimoire. And you use that for later, like you refer to it because you know that there's a success pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very yeah. True. And I mean, that's like that, creates our conscious awareness of what exactly are the steps we need to take, which I think is obviously key, because if we're unaware of how to do it, then we're always going to be unaware. So being able to do that and follow the breadcrumbs, I think is also important. But I kind of want to move into, what is the proactive aspect of manifestation? What are the passive aspects?
It's kind of passive first.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking the same. Yeah. So, yeah. So looking at passive, what is passive manifestation?
Okay. It is when we are having a lot of faith and trust in the universe, for sure. It's very helpful. This is when we practice acting as if and reciting affirmations. There is wonderful magic in these. For example, like affirmations, when we speak the desires and our dreams, our ambitious goals into existence, and when we speak them out there, it does help. The universe is listening, right? And the mere fact that we're even contemplating receiving our dreams, our desires, our hopes is also lifts our vibration. It elevates our emotional state. And therefore, we're already in a more receiving energy. So I'm not poo-pooing affirmations at all, right? They help us to cultivate vibrational states that are life-enhancing. And affirmations also tell our mind, and it's a laser-focused tool, to keep an eye out for those results. This is what we're looking for. And the mind is like, I'm looking for it. So instead of looking for all the things that aren't working, the mind is tasked with this busyness of, I can see all the things that are working for us. So affirmations, absolutely. But then it's a passive form of manifestation. The law of attraction, this idea that ask and it is given, or you get what you think about, that's also going to be very beneficial. When we are working with the law of attraction, we're more likely to see possibility versus limitation. It's a very helpful tool, right? And the law of attraction, working with that, helps us to then practice the concept of the self-fulfilling prophecy. This is another form of passive manifestation. Law of attraction says that if we can expect something to 100% happen, it is a more powerful tool than a belief. Like, beliefs can vary, like, yeah, I believe that I will receive the thing, but do you expect it? 100% undoubtedly. It's a very different energy just from me saying that. So an expectation is a belief that we are absolutely 100% certain about, for better or worse, as well. Yeah, and in psychology, they call that the self-fulfilling prophecy. Every thought, every feeling, every action is going to have a correlating vibrational frequency that we're putting out into the universe. It's this energetic, quote-unquote, message, right, that we're telling the universe that this is what we want to create in our reality. So if we're saying, if I absolutely expect my, oh, I don't even like saying this. It was the first example that came to, because I dreamt last night that me and my wife had, we had to separate because in the land that we lived, you had to be with a man, like a woman had to be with a man. It was like literally last night, this dream came about. So if I have this absolute expectation that our marriage has to end, like government law is breaking it apart, the self-fulfilling prophecy is that that's likely to happen, because that's what I am affirming. That's what I'm telling the universe. However, if I have an absolute expectation, not just a belief, I believe my marriage will last until we're gray old ladies sitting on the porch with purple and red hair. We're going to be Violet and Ruby. We're changing our names at that point.
Love it.
Then I will absolutely receive that. I'm affirming that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like convincing the universe and ourselves that this is how it's going to be. And the universe is saying, your will is done. You shall be Ruby and Violet.
I love it. And I just want to kind of slip in a little caveat here, because I think that a lot of times there's this idea that we have to be, you know, good vibes only, which is fucking ridiculous, right? That's just, otherwise, if we have a moment of humanity, then we, all of our manifestations are undone. And I think that's silly, because it's the human experience that we're having. It's not this sort of, you know, very curated, only these things are happening and we have to avoid or pretend like anything other than that isn't going on. It's important that we move through all of it.
Yeah. Spiritual bypassing.
Yeah.
We talk about this a lot in one of our emotional spiritual certification courses. It is, tell me if I'm wrong, Astral Adventures and Healing. We talk a lot about spiritual bypassing.
Talk about it in Minecrafting too.
So there is this, and you would think that affirmations and the law of attraction, this absolute expectation that what you intend to create, you create, would be enough. And it's not. Like, I can't just assume that G and I's marriage will last the distance if that's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So taking it back to, well, how can we be proactive about what we're creating? Let's answer that question now.
Yeah.
All right. Four things again.
Yeah.
Four things that we sabotage on our path to success, and four success secrets, let's say, that actually have us being proactive about what we're creating. And I want everyone to think about the successful, or rather, people in our lives, in our communities, maybe in the online spaces that you perceive to be successful, like genuinely successful people living fulfilling lives, it's likely that they will be implementing these secrets. Number one is to be authentically expressed, right? They have that deep sense of who they are in the world, what their purpose is, whether they've looked at the midheaven point on their astrological natal chart, or they've explored the Akashic records for their primary vibrational frequency that they operate on. If someone is being authentically expressed, they know how they experience themselves, and they also have a great sense of how other people experience them, and they celebrate that, that's going to be key. That's number one. They're not afraid to be all that they are. Number two, these people are going to prioritize autonomy. So rather than taking strategic advice from others, listening to other people, they're going to trust their intuitive intelligence. They also trust their logical intelligence, right, Joe? When you intuitively identified your purpose in life, you also then went to, okay, logically, how does this fit in? What am I good at? How do I experience myself? It was a logical and intuitive approach for sure. So when we prioritize autonomy, we are independent. We're the critical thinkers. We're always going to honor ourselves first, our values, our heart's desires. No external force can sway that. Number three, these people take aligned action, not just any action, because, you know, we can do the things that other people think we should do, or we can do the things that we think should create success because other people have tried and it's worked for them. When we take aligned action, it's going to be actions that have us authentically expressed, using our own creative energy, not copying someone else's, not appropriating someone else's words, or, I don't know, using the most trending audio on TikTok because you know that the algorithm's working for it. You know, like, actually, maybe my voice is enough. Yeah, it is. Take actions. Create a strategic plan based on your gifts and strengths and also your shadow tendencies, because that's all of you. So the fourth thing is allowing abundance, allowing yourself to receive. People who do this know that they are worthy of receiving. They know what they've done to create the results that they receive, even if sometimes it's a surprise. They've learned how to not only put themselves out into the world in authentic ways through their thoughts, feelings, actions, they've also opened up their hearts and all their vital force energy channels to receive. And we're playing with forces here. We're playing with not only celestial planetary forces, we're playing with everything that exists within the quantum field. We're co-creating with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we allow abundance, we have this awareness of really what we are allowing, full force and collective heart of everything that exists. That's like huge allowance. So anyone can be proactive about their manifesting efforts, by the way. You know, we can all do this. I can open my heart and receive. I can take actions that I'm authentically expressed in. I can put autonomy first. I can express myself authentically, but I've got to understand what that's going to take. And I also need to understand what interferes with that, how I might sabotage it, how forces at play might express themselves in different ways, right? If I'm coherent with Mars, bringing back our friend, if I'm working in coherence and harmony with Mars energy, then Mars is saying, take the damn action, do the damn thing. And if I'm questioning myself, if I'm thinking, yeah, but someone else has tried and tested formula is what I've, that's what I believe in. Yeah. And the universe is saying, that's what she believes in. Let's line up all the ducks here. And then months later, you're like, but wait, that was inauthentic. And the universe is like, well, this is what you asked for. What do you want from us?
Yeah.
So we can understand what interferes with things.
Right. And I think that's a great point to bring up, because I think that sometimes the idea of a manifestation, we sort of put it in this little box. And it's like, well, this is what it is and what it means and what we interact with. And we're doing things all on this earthly plane. But really, if everything is energy, then technically we're always interacting with everything because we're all energy. So it isn't just about the, I mean, of course, a big part is about the practical things that we do and the proactive things that we do, but there is also this room for the passive, for the expectation, and for recognizing where we can sort of adjust as we go along. Because sort of looking at it from, let's just say, a planetary perspective, if I feel like the logical thing to do is to express my message in this way, and yet my Mercury is in Pisces, for example, and those two ways do not align, you know, I can then say, oh, let me, Mercury being a ruler of communication, how then can I express myself in this way? And what's more natural to me to do? Or how to speak, you know? And so I think that it's really easy to, like you were talking about before, to pick up on all the trends and say, oh, these are the ways that people are being successful right now. And you might experience that success, but maybe it's not as sustainable as, you know, utilizing what comes naturally to you and the ways that it comes naturally to you to create that sustainable, flexible pathway to what success actually looks like in the long run, in the long term for you.
I think course correction along the way is vital. Like, even if we're not aware of what might be interfering with our return on investment on our manifesting efforts, if we are revisiting our relationship with our celestial friends and checking in to see whether are we good, like, Venus, how are we feeling? And Venus is like, what on earth did you just do? Because that's not the way your brain should be. Like, I know you think that that's on trend right now, but you're like Venus in Capricorn, like, face it. So I feel like the more we can have the really intimate relationships with the planets. And this is not reading from a textbook, by the way. Like, Joe and I, and anyone who's learned astrophibology, which is how we teach astrology inside of Taboo, yes, there's a theory that you learn from the literal, like, textbook. But more than that, you're learning how to have those conversations with these celestial friends. So I can literally go up to Saturn and say, I'm working damn hard. Why are you making this harder for me? And Saturn's like, well, are you doing the thing that I told you to do because of your purpose and the midheaven and the Mercury? Are you allowing yourself to be all that? And I'm like, no. Saturn's like, well then, tough love, daddy, right? Like, I'm going to make it harder for you. I've got the key to your success, but you've got to do the work. Clearly that's what Saturn's saying to me right now. That just sounded way too personal, didn't it? I mean, it takes practice to have that level of relationship, that level of connection and intimacy with celestial characters, the archetypes that I call my friends. And it's simpler than that as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we are not feeling aligned, there is something. There's dissonance within our body, kinks in our auric field. there is either manifesting in health ailments. That's why me and Satin are having hard conversations right now, by the way, because it's all about my health. Mm-hmm. A lot of chaos and more incongruence than congruence. It's likely that we need to course correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like the body will be the first thing, or rather the body is the last thing to manifest in ailments, to say, dude, you got to change what you're doing. Because it's dense physical matter, always take the longest, but it's the most obvious. Like I can no longer deny that my body's been telling me and my spirit's been telling me, my heart's been telling me this whole time that I need to change the way that I look after my body. But it wasn't until my body was just like, I'm going to give you the most excruciating pain. I'm like, oh, I feel that. Okay, got it. And Satin's like, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was that a good case study? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I think that sort of comes back to another foundational sort of concept, which is the idea of that incongruence or the things that are sabotaging or inhibiting us. And it's really easy to have that cognitive dissonance and think, well, but this is what I believe in and XYZ, and you know, I'm doing these certain things, and not even recognize actually there is this dissonance that's happening and this discord, and things aren't really aligned. So now what? Now how do we come to a place of coherence or congruence when that happens? And it does come through course correction. It's okay, this is where that was misaligned and that was doing its thing that I thought was happening this way or whatever. And really looking at just the way that we do things, that we be in the world, that we think about, and not necessarily checking ourselves constantly of, you know, am I being the most high vibe ever right now? And am I only thinking about these things? But cultivating awareness can only be helpful no matter what we're doing, really. But in particular, when it comes to finding where those kinks are in the manifestation process, you know, because we then come to realize, oh, all right, well, now that I know where this misalignment is coming from, I can do something different. And maybe this time I can have that conversation with Saturn. I can have that conversation with Mars, or I can have this conversation with Jupiter and find out why I'm not expanding more. And I just feel like I'm contracting, and I've been doing everything that I feel like is aligned for me. So now what? So coming into that, you know, what are the other ways that we can sort of move into congruence, or how do we recognize congruence when we're in this sort of churn of this isn't working right, or I'm not able to regulate my emotions or my thoughts, and we all get into those places. But how can we recognize when we're on our way to congruence?
When we're on our way to congruence.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Because I was thinking at any one point, like there's this equilibrium, right? Like we can do our best to fine tune our frequencies and access more resourceful energetic states. Doesn't have to be like, absolute optimism, like that's quite a high vibrational state. What if I've been in despair for a few days, weeks, and optimism's a little bit too far-fetched for me, and the next resourceful state might be courage. So we can fine-tune our frequencies, just like we can come to that next resourceful state. So how do we recognize we're on our path to congruence? I feel like if we can take an audit of how we are feeling, actually, I'm going to take this all the way. If we can audit our physical subtle body emotional, mental, spiritual, subtle bodies, if we can do a complete aura audit, it'll give us a sense of how far off track we are and how minor our adjustments, tweaks might need to be. Course correcting always kind of needs to happen because we're human and we're never like on the straight and narrow all the time because there are so many influencing forces. But if we can look at like, okay, what is the vibrational state of my body currently? What is the most primary emotional charge that I experience? And where is that on the scale of emotions? Where are my thoughts at? What am I thinking about? How am I receiving information? Is that information worthy of receiving? Am I overstimulating my, you know, mental body? Like, I think there's a whole process that our students take clients through to literally do an aura audit. So I'm not going to like touch on all the points now, but I think that's a pretty practical way, clever is what I was going to say, pretty clever and practical way of seeing how far we are away from congruence.
Mm.
And that gives us an idea, a sense of the degree of action, the degree of change that might need to take place. Because we'll either be just around the corner from how we want to feel and experience ourselves, or we might be way off track.
Yeah. And again, you know, anything we can do, I think, to cultivate awareness of how we operate naturally is going to be beneficial, because I think ultimately the more awareness, the more knowledge we have about that internal landscape is going to help us to be able to understand what we need to do in order to change. Because there's, just like you were saying, you know, there have been lots of signs of what you needed to do and how you needed to change. And I can definitely relate to that. And I think a lot of people can, of, oh, like there's all these things that were happening that created chaos or some sort of disruption in life. And sometimes it does take us hitting all the way rock bottom to be able to recognize it. Sometimes we recognize it beforehand. And again, that's why I think cultivating that awareness is helpful, because that way we don't have to go all the way to the bottom to recognize what's happening. We can, you know, we can stop short of that and then make the adjustments. But being able to do that really does require that level of awareness and how we actually operate, because, you know, we could consistently be looking at external forces and saying, well, oh, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. But the truth is that actually those are just a reflection of other things that are happening.
Yeah, and we don't have any control over those things. So let's look at what we do have control over. Do I have control over what foods I choose to consume? Yes. I'm looking at Joe like, yes. And I'm looking at myself like, pulling myself out here. Do I have control over what I choose to think about when I wake up in the morning? Yeah. Do I have control over how wide I smile? Yeah. Do I have control over how I love myself? Do I have control over what time I go to bed at night? Sometimes, not always. My boy, he's 17, but he had a fever last night. So I stayed up with him until he was all settled. So like, you know, but I could have said, get yourself to bed, boy. So there are some things that are like a little bit gray with what I have control over, like, but then I have control over how I respond to them. Yeah. I wanted to stay up with him, even though I knew it was later than my normal bedtime. There is so much that we do have control over, even though external forces are at play. Do I have control over whether Saturn gives me truly tough love or soft touch love? Thankfully, I have Saturn in Cancer. It's a nice placement, because when Saturn comes into like the kitchen hearth of the home where Cancer's like cooking apple pie, baking apple pie, and Saturn sits in, there's a softening that happens to Saturn. Mm-hmm. So whereas if you've got Saturn in Capricorn, like I'm seeing a whip come out. I feel like we have so much control over how we experience ourselves and what we choose to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's also those natural influential things, whether it's our subconscious programming, whether it's the way that, you know, our planetary allies express themselves through us naturally. And all of that is just information we get to work with in order to create, coming back to creation and success, is to create what we want and have that be successful and have those things come to manifestation. And that's really, I think, what ultimately we're coming to and what's a big part of the outcome within Catalyst and the Make Your Mark workshop is, how can I utilize what comes naturally to me so that life and business doesn't need to feel difficult? I you know, feel like I'm really living out my purpose. I'm aligned with my values. I'm experiencing more congruence more of the time. And I understand how to then course correct when I am noticing those incongruent bits and pieces.
Yeah. In Catalyst, we teach, I guess there's a chart that teaches you, like, this is what congruence with Saturn looks like, and this is what incongruence with Saturn looks like. So it's like a cheat sheet. Like, if you're manifesting things on the incongruent list, then you know the course correction needs to take place.
Yeah.
And then you can create a strategic action plan, a ritual to then cultivate further coherence. And like we said earlier, it doesn't have to be like going from despair to optimism.
Yeah.
Maybe cultivating coherence is just reaching that point of courage. And that's all you need to go at that point. There is no, this is what works if you're incoherent with Saturn. Like, we don't know your relationship with Saturn. We have to consider what zodiac frequency is influencing Saturn's energy first. And we work with your astrological natal chart to determine that. As much as there is guidance that Joe and I offer throughout this program, I think it's the personal companion guide that really customizes it for the participants. Everyone's going to have a different way of going about cultivating coherence.
Yeah, I think that this is a group experience, but it very much is still a one-on-one type of container, because it is very specific to you, and we are teaching these things, but we're giving you the resources to understand what it means for you on that very unique personal level of your own birth chart.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly we're going into like sharing with everyone what Catalyst is. Do you want to share any more details about that before we go? How people get onto that through the introductory workshop?
Yeah, so we start off with, hey, our purpose and creating our star aligned offers. And that is going to be, you know, a 90-minute workshop that Vicky and I are leading. And we'll be looking at your midheaven and your 10th house to really hone in on what specifically is your purpose, that key to success. And then you'll be creating that map for yourself of, all right, knowing this information, and we'll go through a lot of that. Even if you don't have your specific birth details, we can still work with that. But you'll be able to recognize, okay, considering these frequencies, considering where these things are, what actually is aligned for me? And now that I know my purpose based on this midheaven, based on this 10th house information, I can now create offers, or, you know, one signature offer that is actually fully, completely aligned with my purpose. And I don't even need to question it. Like, I know that this is it. Yeah. So I will put the link down in the show notes so you can get all the juicy details about the workshop and Catalyst. And we would obviously absolutely love to invite you in and have you there and be able to support you 2-on-1. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in. Until next time, or until you join us on the workshop, take care.